God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Now, I'm Reverend Dr. K.E. Holmes. I really am. You're a person of excellence. You really are. And I always remind you, and I will remind you a million times, 10 million times, till Jesus comes, that you are a person of excellence. Now, not everybody is a person of excellence. And I keep wanting to go to the scriptures about men of valor, men of honor, and those types of expression to show you that that's the person that stands out. That's not the everybody. That's not the crowd. And I know within what I call churchianity, and I refer to churchianity as Christianity that has doctrines and ideas that are not exactly aligned with the word. Not exactly out of line necessarily, though some yes, not in line. And yet we take it as superior type or in stone type, make sure you do it type of doctrine and activity. And those things I call churchianity. Even the way we do worship today, it's only a little over 100 years old. I might even say 200 years old. And the way that we do church, I call it churchianity because it's the thing that we have listed. Now, I wanted to get to reading to you something on my son who is here. And I wanted to read it while he wasn't here. And I'm going to, unless there's a song that he wrote to put on so that it doesn't mess with copyright. But I'm going to go to something that I text to someone. And I'm going to read it where you can hear me while he gets onto the camera. And I'm going to read it about someone anointed and appointed, because I'm always talking about anointed and appointed. And I'm going to read this out loud while I move. Can I still be heard? Yes. Okay. Now, I wrote, wow. And when I go wow, I usually mean a double wow to what anybody is saying. In looking for the outstanding teaching that I was telling you about, I am attuned to the principle of path. That was the title that I stopped at just to find this particular teacher, preacher, and that's another thing about my son. He's a gentleman. And one of the things, I'm interrupting myself on this, because people of excellence, who you are, you want to honor God. The thing of it is that when you're of excellence, it is usually so much so that the people who aren't all that and the crowd have a couple of different reactions. And I do mean the word reaction and response. And I mean response to you. And one of the examples that I hope to remember to get to on people of excellence about men, one of the examples is men like men, and actually society for a long, 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 long time likes men to be a certain way, kind of like a soldier and so on and so forth. And the one who is not so much like a soldier, but a gentleman, that's kind of okay. That's kind of okay. But to be a gentleman to the point that you will carry the bag move the chair, give someone else your chair. We tend not to like it. Now, me just saying it right now, you think, oh, isn't that nice? No, you don't. No, we don't, society. We think that that man ought to hold his place. And you see the way I'm doing my head. That's also a way a couple of different cultures express emphasis. But society wants the man who is the hero type. We don't want him getting a chair. Oh, we want him to be a gentleman to give a lady a chair. But we don't want him moving chairs. Someone was telling me on my way over here to the studio that there's about 100 chairs that people are washing down. Well, we don't want that guy washing down the chairs. Let the crowd do that. People of excellence, I'm reminding you now, you step up and wash down the chairs. And I'm letting you know that this gentleman is like that. He's a man of excellence, and I have to ask him about all, he's won awards all his life, but he's won awards that people respect and honor, and I have to ask him which ones those are, because when I'm looking at him, it's not that I'm not proud of him or anything like that, but you've heard me say how that God told me about him years before he was conceived. Before I was even married, and yeah, I had all my children after I married their father, one father. And the things that God told me about him were so astounding, and they were also outside of the absolutely wonderful, wonderful, faith-filled, God-activated church that I was attending, but they were outside of that ideology and thinking at that time. And so for me, as I see him moving in the things that God said before he was conceived, before, I'm astounded at God and the way he keeps his promises. And I'm pointing up, I see my hands off screen, but I'm pointing up God, because if you know sign language, you know that's God. So that it's not that I'm not proud of him. I'm just like, to me, he's walking promise. Because God said things. I mean, God tells me I'm going to have a son 2 years after I'm married. But then about a year after that, I go through all this sickness and illness. And I'm told by the best doctor in the city that I was living in at the time, the best gynecologist, that I can't conceive. Not only I can't carry a birth, I can't conceive, and I can't have children. And that thing devastated me so bad, and this is part of why I'm letting you know. People of excellence, yeah, God's glory rests on you. Honor him. Because God had said what he said to me. The thing of it is, in the time, at the time I was busy praying, you know, God, I'm going to serve you like a nun. I'm never going to marry and all that. And I was already in love with their dad, but he was the one who brought me to Jesus. And we broke up right after that and all that. Okay. And I'm thinking we're going to stay broken up because I want to be concentrated on you. And God interrupts. He let me go a while, but he interrupts me and tells me this. Okay, then time goes on more than a year. And I was very ill. Mind you, in a church where automatically lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, a huge altar, and you never saw anybody come in. I love that we wrote that song, Don't Let Me Leave This Place the Same. And this is after he's born, okay? But in that church, you never saw anybody come in having a need. And I mean a long, 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 long altar. It used to be a theater. And You went out with Jesus Christ. You went out full of the Holy Spirit. You went out knowing Father God. You went out with more than what you needed when you came in. And here, more than a year later, I had been in so much pain. Finally went to the doctor, and she let me know. And she treated me and treated me and treated me. She didn't just automatically let me know. This was a while. And I was in so much pain all the time that I couldn't do my classes. And then after all this, she finally told me, and I was 19, I think, that I should have a hysterectomy because that's what was going to ease all this pain and all this problem that I was having. And part of what she let me know is, you can't have children anyway. She was letting me know, trying to comfort me with the idea, and that would help alleviate the pain, because it was all coming from all those so-called productive areas and organs and whatnot. And but God had said more than a year prior, 2 years after you're married, you're going to have a son. Now, that's not all he said, because he said all these glorious, glorious, glorious things about a son. And back in that day, you talked about anointing, but you did not talk about glory. And if you said anything about glory, it was, don't you steal the glory of God. It was, and with that attitude. And God had let me know that he would have his glory rest on this son. And while I thought it sounded, you know, when God's talking to you, you think it sounds wonderful. And that was another thing. I was considered a babe in the Lord, so how a babe doesn't hear God talking. Now, to me, and if you saw the look on my face, if you're watching, it was to me then and it is to me right now. That's stupid. And watch last week's broadcast on stupid. Stupid is what in the word is fool, that you only believe yourself and don't take it. Okay. Part of why that's stupid is because you don't even have to be a parent to know that a child knows its parent's voice. An infant, a tiny, tiny infant, knows mommy's voice, knows daddy's voice. So not only did it not make sense, but it was downright stupid to me for people. And they were the church leaders. They were the ones who laid hands on people and all the miracles happened. However, because I'm a babe, well, that's exactly when you know. And this was before I heard the sermon about Abba Father. That's when you know Daddy's voice. And I referred to God the Father as Daddy, and they, that was, I don't think they used the word, but sacrilegious. And it was complete nonsense to me. I know my daddy's voice. And I have a big brother. You hear me talk about him all the time, that I absolutely idolized. And I know my big brother's voice. Because while I understood Jesus is my Savior and all of that, I knew his voice. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me as soon as I got home after I received Jesus Christ. And I knew who he was. Now, if you're born into a kingdom, if you're born into the family, if you're born into a house, you know the voice of the people, your sisters, you're the oldest brother, your sisters knew your voice. Yeah, yeah, and vice versa. So that churchianity thinking, I didn't use the word, I didn't know that word back then, I only made it up now in these last few decades, but that kind of thing was crazy to me. The thing of it is God, I now know, this is what I want you to know, people of excellence. You want to let the glory of God rest on you, because most of the time you're going through stuff on top of stuff that you don't see glory. Like Job, all he went through, in the beginning of Job, God's bragging on him. And let me put it away that churchianity can receive it. In the beginning of Job, God has a testimony in Job and about Job. Not just Job has a testimony with God. You learn that as you read further into the book. But in the very beginning of the chapter, God is testifying about Job. You people of excellence are people that God can testify about. And even, I never didn't think of it this way, but God's testifying to me about this son that I'm going to have 2 years after I'm married. The only thing is, he didn't tell me that the in-between, you people of excellence, you go through stuff that makes no kind of sense. And if God hadn't given you and made you who you are and equipped you, you go through stuff that looks like that couldn't be, just like Job thought. Well, just like his friends thought. Well, if you were so wonderful, this wouldn't have happened to you. And so this far more than excellent of the excellent. I always remind you, David had an army of excellence. He's beyond the army. He leads armies of excellence and causes them to raise up to what God taught. Pardon me, not just what God taught him. And that's another thing, people of excellence. The effect you have in the earth. The effect you have to people. And that's the people that like it and don't like it. The people that like you and don't like you. The effect and effect that you have is that you bring out, you bring up in them what God has put in them. Not just what he put in you. You know, I love that you're such an excellent teacher. And I'll let you know, if you can take vocal, I don't know if you give all these anymore, but vocal lessons, piano lessons, whatever lessons, if you have an album or a song that you want produced or mixed or even composed. You see, I write poetry. He took my book of poetry and made all these wonderful songs. He causes what God has put in you not only to come up, you come up with it, come up and out so that you minister what God has given you. So on one hand, to somebody else, oh, she's plugging. If it's a plug, it's a plug you need. Because it takes a person of excellence to even bring it out in you. It takes a person of excellence to be able to work with you when you scheduled this, you scheduled that, and people of excellence, there's always interruptions. Yeah. Always interruptions. He had planned to be here when the broadcast started. But people of excellence, and just so that you know, I'm not just talking about me. Samuel, in the scripture, when Saul was waiting on the prophet to show up, and he knew, and it was kind of an appointed time. And Saul didn't show up. Samuel didn't get there. Samuel didn't get there. And so Saul took matters into his own hands. Chosen of God, I want you to know, people of excellence. That's why you want to walk in the glory that God has rest on you.
And he was a first.
Yeah. He was a wrong first, but he was a first. How do you deal with that? That wasn't his fault. That was the people of Israel. Because if we were paying attention, here, people of excellence, we need to pay attention to the scripture. Because a Moabite can't be counted among the people until the 10th generation. David was the 10th generation. We, people of God, people of the kingdom, people of the Spirit of God. We, God's people, are sensitive to the will of God. We are sensitive to God's eternal purpose. I'm keep looking at you. I need to let him talk because he's got for you that affect and effect that is beyond me. And but so what God, the glory of God that rests on him. And that he is here the way God does it. He moves in time, times, and generations, and the society, and also the time of what you're going through in your life, what you're going through in your relationships, what you're going through in your business, what you're going through in your decisions, what you're going through in your mind and your heart and your soul. And that's whether or not you're aware of all that. People of excellence, you minister to those things. And I'm going to make it so that I can be quiet. I'm going to read the last part. I was speaking about the person who's obviously a person of excellence. And I said, obviously, he's exceptionally excellent, anointed and appointed, one, on the word of God, the way of God, in slash four, humans and our ways. Now, I noticed that aspect. People of excellence, you're also excellent in more than one thing. I know that we have this phrase of, what is it, master? I can't even remember it right. God makes you excellent at more than one thing, so that if you ever see him sing, you know that, he's a singer. He's a singer, singer, singer. If you hear him play, master musician. If you listen to his compositions, how did he hear that? Where did he get that from? Composer. People of excellence, you're excellent at more than one thing. Doesn't mean you're excellent at everything. It doesn't mean you're not either. So I said this, and then as I went on to say all that, I was saying it's obvious, and then I also said, not so obvious, as he is deeply effective. We're affected by it. Someone stopped me at church when they realized that I was his mom, and he was singing, and they're telling me, that's where, because when he sings, it straightens out what's in my mind. It takes away the things that me second-guessing myself. It makes me know that I did hear God. Now, this is just singing. And I don't want to say just singing, because there's no such thing as just singing, just anything when you're a person of excellence. But she didn't realize all the aspects that she was saying affect how his singing, and it's part of a team, but she recognized that it was his singing that was doing all that to her, in her, for her, through her. Okay, so I said, it's not so obvious, but he's deeply effective. So then I said, now you're going to know I was texting him. I don't know if he got it. It's like you, your music, whether lyrics, sound, composition, rhythm, verse, voice, worship, performance, deeply affects us where we are, whether we know where we are or not. And whether we knew all that was sticking out and needing to be affected by God. And that on purpose, needing to be affected by God. Because you, person of excellence, the glory of God rests on you. And just like you're not mad at the sun for shining. And the scripture talks about, and I think it's 2 Corinthians 14, 13, anyway. But he says, there's the glory of the sun, the glory of the moon. You're not mad at the sun for shining. Well, sometimes you are, because it makes you hot. But
and God gave one to rule the day and the other to rule the
night. Hello! And you're not mad at it for ruling. Mm-hmm. So stop being mad at people of excellence for moving in the excellence that you can't do anything about. But God has put it in place for you. Okay, man of excellence, Ian Shelley Holmes II, which lets you know that Ian Shelley Holmes I was excellent. I always say that he was a prince of a man. Well, here's the son. And remember Isaiah, 59? The spirit that I put on you, I've put in your seed and your seed's seed. The word that I've spoken to you, I've spoken to your seed and your seed's seed. Well, this is the seed of Ian Shelley Holmes I. This is Ian Shelley Holmes II, excellent of the excellent.
Thank you.
Hi.
Love you. Thank you.
Love you.
Good to see you. Thank you. It's so interesting. Time and times coming on you. I know you talk about that often here on the broadcast and with us and growing up. Some things that were coming to me is where it says in 3 John verse 2, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, even as your souls prosper. In the King James, there's prospereth. I'm reading the Amplified Classic Edition because it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. These are the things that God has given us and given to us and to have. And there's times, all the time, but there's specific times where we need to hold on to those promises, as you were saying, and to that word, because sometimes what we feel or see that is manifested in the natural and even in the spiritual in certain areas, but in the natural, doesn't to us in our sight, in our man's sight, line up with what's said in the Word of God here. So we have to, you know, put on, we were talking about that earlier this week, put on, you know, put off concerning the former conversation.
Yes.
So put it away, take, put it off, just, you know, put it up, don't, put it over there, get rid of that, you know, the former conversation, that,
yes,
you know, what we, what was beforehand. Here we see that Paul, John rather, speaking and saying that he wants, he's his desire, because it was his, if you will, his brother's desire, his friend's desire, meaning Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because there's some specifics to that in the Word.
Yes, yes.
About that too. But that beloved or beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, and that your, and that your body may keep well.
Yeah.
God has given us that we are to have things well for us, and internally and externally as well. But this is what he's speaking out in prayer.
Yes.
And in word and in existence. I love the part where you said about the time. Today, there's, you know, we're going, there's different things that we all go through, and that process as we are going through is sometimes quite a process. God tells you what's going to be and what's going to happen, what you will have and what is, and then the in-between of getting from that point. you know, scientific terms, it says that, you know, the shortest distance between A and B is
2 points, yeah.
2 points, or right, is a straight line.
Yes.
And so often we find that when God says, I'm taking you there, we feel like it's going all the way around, up and down, in and out. Is it going to even happen? Is it going to take place? That straight line doesn't seem to be present. I have found that although our paths that we see in life are, in, if you will, that way, when we keep our eyes and our attention on what God is saying and what he said, we have a direct connection and or path in the spirit, and then in the natural because of his manifestation of his glory, that we have that direct connection. So that straight line, that principle, which is obviously, it's clearly a principle that God has set inside the earth, is actually the case.
Yes.
And when I say the case, I mean it is actually the situation. It is actually like a lawyer has his case. It is the argument, or the whatever it may be, the dissertation, you know, whatever it is set. Because the Word of God is set, because he is the Word, and he is set. So we see that he wants us to prosper. Coming back to, you know, when I was younger, sometimes I would hear these accolades, what I would call accolades from my mom or my mother, and I would be like, oh man, she's saying a lot. Oh, she's talking about
really?
A whole lot, you know. And
that's funny, because he always thought way beyond, and I used to always have to pray, God, I hope I'm not making my son, I forget what the word it was then, but today we'd say psychotic, because he'd just go ahead and believe God on things. I can't imagine you thinking, and I had no idea that you ever thought anything I said was a lot.
Well, yes. So, and I used to, and then at one point, and I'm not exactly sure when that was, but because of the Word of God, you know, not allowing ourselves to just continue in the Word, it's so important, as much as, which I appreciate and I'm very grateful for, and we had gotten this from our parents, when you're given a compliment, things are said good about you, there's accolades that are extreme and above anything that anybody else could think or imagine, and they're applying that to you specifically, telling you that's who you are and what you do for them, etc. Our dad used to always say thank you, receive that. He used to tell us, receive those things. What that does, it allows us the grace to move wherever we are. And when you say thank you, clearly, and you mean that, and you say thank you for being able to receive that from that person. Because as much as there is the as much as it is that we are in that position of on a pedestal, if you will, for others and for them, when we say thank you, and we receive that with grace, it allows us to do the things or whatever it is that God has given us or called us to do. And that calling is very important. I remember in 2010, I met a gentleman, Edgar René. He's a singer. And we became great friends, like brothers and with the family. And there was a lot to the story. But I went to Puerto Rico to visit their family, to be with them. And I remember when I was 8 years old, I had seen the shadow of the Most High. And more than once. Now, in between, in life, in different times, I've seen him reveal or show and demonstrate himself in that way. And at this
Psalm time, 91, Psalm 91, for those 91, of you, yeah, that aren't familiar with
that. He that dwelleth
that.
In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Yeah.
So that first verse, all of the whole chapter, 16 verses, but that first verse specifically, holding on to that, and then the second verse, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, and Him will I trust. That when I went to Puerto Rico, and I was there, I saw the shadow in the family's home, moving around, like as if he lived there. Now,
interrupt just for a second and tap me because you know thank you. Now, in those days that he's speaking of, whether it was younger or older, you didn't say thank you when someone gave you a compliment. You said, give God the glory. God had taught his father and me separately and us together that you glorify God and you honor him when you say thank you.
Yes.
They see you and they see God and his glory.
Some of that we understand now with words of affirmation.
Yes.
And with some of, and other people understood it before too, but some of that we understand now with words of affirmation and reciting certain things over and over again.
It took years to get there, though. And in that timing, you were busy being different because people of excellence are different.
And in that difference is when, like I said, I saw the shadow. He was there and present. And
That's the other thing I wanted to say. That was a time when we thought anything dark was the devil and any shadow couldn't be God, had to be the devil. And yet, he knew what it was.
And in that piece of you saying what we think is dark and areas, we have one thing that's so important to understand is that God is creator.
Yes.
And anything that we see that is produced and manifest in any realm, let's talk about the spiritual realm, of things that are wicked, is a counterfeit.
Hello.
Of who God is.
Yes.
A counterfeit who God is. And because wickedness is twisted truth, obviously there's more to that, there's this state of confusion that's always there. But remember that if it was thought of in that realm, it's already being done.
Yes.
In holiness. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit.
Hello.
In order to know what is holy, in order also not to get caught up in things that are not, and also not to get caught up in things that are carnal, because there is a side of man that is not Satan, demons, etc. It is the flesh. And that flesh, because of sin, the heart of man is evil and deceitfully wicked. Where is that found? I'll have to go look for that.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm busy looking for where God says, and he says it more than once, why it was taking me so long, because I know the one scripture, he said he speaks from thick darkness.
Yes. Yes.
And we think we hear a voice from darkness, and I rebuke you, devil. And no. Yeah. More than once God says in the word. Mm-hmm. He did it and demonstrated it, and then he tells you that's what.
And we see that in the beginning, that God, when God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, that was a thick space, a place of dark, and a place of substance where we see that even in what we know as water, how we see that the firmament is spread, and then there's this space. I love it because God is always in the business of protecting us.
Oh,
and
yes,
way around us. And we don't always realize it. Even in today's society, when we see how things are happening with the earth, this, that, and the other, but we don't always realize that God set things here.
Yes.
And he's also set things here. So everything that's in between here, even though it seems like it's all getting messed up.
Mm-hmm. It's, and scary.
And it is. Still, God is in control. And it's, we see that when we see that Jesus Christ was crucified. It's specifically the word tells us that if Satan knew that doing that the way he, that it was, the, all that process of what he was doing.
Thunder. You know, I mean, pardon me, not just thunder, earthquake.
Yeah, then he would have made a different decision. The thing is, because he comes, meaning Satan, who had been Lucifer, comes from the place of where, of creation, of a creator, his mindset is completely different. And because of wickedness, there's always confusion there. So he may have an answer that that could be what we would call right. But is it just? Is
or
it justice
righteousness.
And righteousness? Exactly.
Yeah.
And no, it's not. Because wickedness has this twisted truth. It is he's constantly in that state of confusion.
He was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. Now there's two.
Yeah.
That he fell, it takes two to do what he did.
And often that's the case whenever there's things to be done.
That's so, why you want to let the glory of God rest in you and walk in it.
So
for if you don't, it takes more than you to get your job done.
Absolutely. And so for our calling, God was showing me that specifically in that moment when I saw the shadow in Puerto Rico, when he was showing me that someone here, and he showed me the who, was praying specifics about what they were looking for from God and what they were doing. And that's why he was there. He was able to inhabit that space and to be in that place because there was worship, there was praise, there was adoration, there was consideration, there was appreciation, there was love. There was acceptance. There was all of those things coming from what God wants us to give and do for him, with him willingly.
Yes.
Because that's part of the reason why he's given us this will.
Yes.
To make that choice.
Yes.
Because he is looking for that choice. I always say that God's need, if you will, is very different than man's need.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, we don't have, man has a different kind of way of needing.
Yes.
Than when God says what he's looking for. So when we say that God needs this or God needs that, God needs this, over in this one thing for over here and over there, he needs this. It's very different than what we have as the need because of our finite.
For us, it's a lack.
Yes.
For him, it's fulfilling, getting the thing fulfilled.
Yes, it's a fulfillment. Which comes to Jesus Christ being a fulfillment of the law and, yes, specifically in love. John 3:17. That Jesus came into the world, not to condemn it, but that the world through him, meaning that I love that because spiritually we're talking about going through the blood, that the world through him might be saved because we need, and we'll always need that him as our savior, even in eternity, because God's principles are the same. Jesus Christ is the same when, yesterday, today, and forever. So we see that when God, so I understood from that moment in Puerto Rico when that this family was there, when I saw the shadow of the Almighty, that their prayers were a call.
I'm thinking of scripture. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We do talk about what we are called to
because
we know, okay, I've been called to this, I've been called to that. I mean, I'm using the words this and that.
You, person of excellence, you.
Yes.
You.
But you know the things that God has called you to. There are places and people, opportunities that someone will be looking for and yearning for and praying and seeking God for. And you are going to be that one.
Yes.
And are that one who is called, will answer that call. They're going to speak out. And they're going to cry out, and you are going to be the person who God is going to bring to them to be the answer to that call.
You're who they're looking for.
Exactly. God's calling. So I remember when God was
showing
me that.
They don't know it all the time, but you're who they're looking for.
Exactly. He showed me that, and I was in those days, I was quite amazed. I understood calling because I understood my calling. I understood what I was supposed to be doing, actively. At the same time, God was showing me that he, and I knew this was not, I knew this for me was a revelation. I also knew that it was not but it had been revealed already to others. One person who I completely, you know, God is blessed and, of course, miss the presence of is the Reverend Reinhard Bonnke. He specifically would talk about those kind of things of knowing how you are called and what you're called to. People need Jesus. And if any one of us, we all do, needs him, for those of us that need to come into fellowship to know who he is, for those of us who have fallen out of fellowship and need to come back to him, for those of us who are in fellowship and need to go deeper in him, and for those of us that are deep in him, and God really wants to move us into another space and places with him, we all need him.
Yes,
and
yes,
we all
yes.
have a calling, and he's given that to us, and it's him. He is calling.
Yes.
He is calling. And it is his desire to see, to experience, and to know that people are saved. And when I say saved, that they are set free, that yes, they are delivered here in this earth and for eternity, that they can live their lives in a place of being free and
yes.
knowing his kind of freedom. So when we understand that we are called, it very well may and could be that someone is seeking salvation. It could be anywhere, in any person, any place, any time. It is so important to know that you and me, we are born in these days, in these moments, through these years that we are living in this earth at this time, for such a time as this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's beautiful. We see how God does elevate us. He elevates us to the places where he wants to show his glory, and where he really wants to demonstrate. It's so important to understand that he really wants to demonstrate his love, his loving kindness.
Yes.
So for people that we see are in an evil place or in their bad place and they're never going to change, or we have these thoughts, we need to get rid of that.
Please.
We need to start.
Did he have that thought about you when he saved you? Did he have that thought about you? Did he have that thought about me?
Yeah.
No, and I was. I knew I needed to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. And I knew that if anyway. But that's not how he is with us.
Yeah.
And another aspect of it, people of excellence, we affect people who aren't going to be saved. They're not going to make that decision. However, what you affect is the decisions that they make that influence other people. What you affect mm-hmm. is the decisions that they make that influences their generations.
And we see that in the Word consistently. We see that with King Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
We understand that his decision-making and process of decision-making was incredibly astounding, let's call
mm-hmm.
it that.
Yeah.
At the same time,
yeah.
because it was not godly, God adjusted him.
Mm-hmm. And in his adjustment, he didn't have what we call a come to Jesus moment. He put God in the order. Now he's at the top of the several gods. He's God of gods. Mm-hmm. Got my other gods. And you know what? Politically, we don't think of it like that. He's a king. Politically, that made a difference. In terms of prejudice, and today we only think of prejudice in our terms, there was so much prejudice in the scriptures in different areas that was just the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
But we, people of excellence, you affect people who have influence and affluence in those kinds of ways, being pillars. Some pillars and ideologies are removed and God's righteousness put in place, even by somebody who's not righteous at all, like Nebuchadnezzar, because of a person of excellence
mm-hmm.
that made a difference and caused them to be different. Yeah, God so loved the world He wants you saved. He wants everyone saved. But even the ones who won't be saved, he wants them fulfilling his eternal purpose, what he ordained in the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the earth. Go ahead.
That's exactly it. And God will put you in the place and position where you'll be up front in leadership and friends with people that, and when I say friends with, you're going to stay with what the Word of God says. You're going to stay with being holy.
Yes.
You're going to stay with trusting in Him and following in the footsteps of Christ and in His Word, like Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And you will come across people and situations that are against you. But the Word of God tells that no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn, you will condemn and show it to be in the wrong. And this is the security that we have in the Word and
yes.
in the promise of God. It's so important to know that because we need that. We need His Word.
Yes.
We need His security. We need to know that sometimes weapons look like swords. Sometimes weapons look like words. And sometimes weapons look like things that are created to make it so that way you are forced into submission. We need to know that these weapons, whatever it is,
yes.
however it's formed, however it came about, however somebody decided to come up with the idea to make it so that millions of people would lose their lives, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. We need to understand that. We also need to understand that in the process of when we see those things, since it's interesting God just bringing that up, that there are situations that are horrific. And for some of us, some of us can know the Word of God, and some of us know how to explain those things, and we see the details. Some of us don't.
Yes.
With whomever it may be.
And often people of excellence who know those things, when it's you going through it, you forget those things. That's part of why God says to rehearse. You know, you talk about Him, you talk about what He did, and you talk about it, and you talk about it because it builds your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you that in
yes.
the middle of your going through the valley of the shadow of death,
yes.
you're not so busy looking at the rocks and this and that and that,
yeah.
that you know the rest of that.
Yeah.
Thou art with me.
Yes. And that your rod and
oh.
your staff, it comforts me.
Mm-hmm.
And that comfort can come in all kinds of ways, and it may be even in correction.
Yes.
And when it is, we receive that. We choose, and we choose to receive that. And when it's in, when the comfort comes in as a balm, like with Jesus being the balm of Gilead,
yes.
like a balm in Gilead, we see the reference in the Old Testament to the New Testament. But we can receive that as well. It's so important to be able to receive,
oh.
to be not just open to receive, because you can be open to receive all kinds of stuff, but you want to be able to receive what God is doing, what God is saying, what God's Word is bringing to you
and
presenting to you.
I'm a theologian. I am straight up a theologian. I want everything to be word, 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 word. And what if God gives you something and it's not word? Now, God just did this with me, so I'm letting you know that we are in times when we need to receive what God gave. Something happened and I was upset. My computer wouldn't act right, and I have a whole lot that I need to get done. And it wouldn't work, and everything. And I used to build computers. And
mm-hmm.
then I went to the computers that I had to build, and nothing's working. Blah, 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 blah. And someone called. And, oh, Rev, how you doing? Da, 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 da. And I said, I'm pulling my hair out. And he said, well, it'd be easier if you just shave it off. And I cracked up. Now, the Word of God says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That was such medicine to my mind, my soul, my mood, my everything. Cracking up. He didn't give me a scripture. He gave me His humor and His craziness that I love.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me out of that. And not only did it take me out of that for the moment, because I wasn't done dealing with it, mm-hmm. then my laptop didn't want to work, and then this didn't want to work, you know, and my computer kept blinking at me. Now, see, it's one thing. If something will just shut down, then you could know, okay, that's it. No, no, it wouldn't be it. It kept messing with me, But because of him saying that, every time I thought, I'm going to pull my head, and I would just crack up, and I had the merriness about it, so that now I can move into wisdom, which says, I'll show you witty inventions. And here, God gave, anyway, I don't want to mess up what you're saying, but whether or not it's scripture, because somebody like me, I only want you to tell me scripture, especially the worse the problem is. I only want to hear a word. I needed to hear God. I needed to receive him. I needed to receive righteousness, not just, I know the word is right and righteous. I needed to receive. Normally, I wouldn't even answer the friend if I'm all upset, upsided, mm-hmm. a word I made up, upset and excited. Mm. That did it for me for the next few days.
And that's clearly the point, is to know that when God wants to speak to you, he wants you to be able to receive.
Yes.
And again, that's what all of what you had just mentioned is part of that, and it's clearly, again, the whole purpose that God wants you to be able to receive. So receive. He wants you to be able to digest, to ingest, and to have that, and for yourself and for your life. He wants that to continue. Yeah. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, and that your body is as well, just as your soul has. Because we know that according and because by and for the word of God, that our souls have eternal life in Christ.
Yes.
And that eternal life is part of the everlastingness of
yes.
who God is.
And
it is in him.
Depth, dimension. You know how the scripture says in Ephesians about the love of Christ, the mm-hmm. height, length, depth, and breadth of the love of Christ? Eternalness has those arenas and dimensions and more. Mm-hmm. And God, when he made man in his image, then that's mankind, okay? And it's also especially males, because remember, he took woman out of your rib. But when he made you able to know how to do all kinds of things excellently. Mm-hmm. Name animals, whether they're in the sky, the sea, the under the sea, you already knew how to do all that. So don't get upset about what you know how to do or what you don't know how to do. Move in the excellence and the glory of God yes. that rests on you. You're yeah. necessary.
And I think those are some beautiful, so to speak, closing points, but I would call them transitioning points. Like Jesus Christ is the Amen. Because when we say Amen, he's already begun. And it is to enter into something new and beautiful dimension. Place.
Yes.
So that way we are to transition into the things that God would have for us and what he wants us to do. And
he is the Amen, you know, yes. Revelation. And we want people of excellence. We want to always help other people or whole people's transition.
Yeah. And that's why, if you will, I know you know this, but that's why, if you will, because we're coming to a set part of this broadcast. This is a transition.
Mm-hmm.
Each broadcast, each time, each place is a transition. It's from faith
yes.
to faith and from glory
yes.
to glory.
Ah.
Not just that, okay, we had this for an hour or so and now we're done. No. This is to carry on. This is for
yes.
you to carry on. This is to continue because the word of God is everlasting. These are this is the place we go from faith to faith and glory to glory.
Yes.
This is where we understand line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little.
It is
to continue.
It is for us to continue.
It is to keep going. It is so that way when we go back and look over these things or hear these things again in the future, they resonate with us according to what God has said by the power through his word and this Holy Spirit. So that way we continue and we go on and we move. Grow,
yes.
And we love and we care and we appreciate understanding
yes.
that as we cast I love that. I love it that it came from Peter, that he says, "Cast your cares." You know, obviously they were fishermen. You know, fishermen. Obviously, he said, "God is good. I'm going to make you fishermen, fishers of men, of men." But I love that it came from Peter, that he said, "Casting all your cares upon Him," because why? Because He cares for you. And then it says to humble yourself in the sight of God, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And that so that he may exalt you in due time. I love sometimes, you know, however you see that as may, so that he may do it, so that the possibility is there, or so that once you get to that place,
Actually, the Greek has the definiteness of it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I know that because I like to read it in the Greek. But
and yeah. that again,
and you know that.
And again, that is how that is. You might look at it a certain way or see it, but know that God's infinite way is absolutely infinite in His way.
And His glory rests on you, person of excellence.